And looking here this morning at this verse, which is a verse that is loved by many, the eighth verse of chapter 4, as we look here, as we read these words, thinking on the thoughts about our mind, because that's what this talks about, what we think of, how we discipline the mind, and the advantages of a disciplined mind. For a disciplined mind in the Lord is a happy mind, a mind that certainly understands the deep of the heart, and the heart with the mind. Now, if you recall back when we were in chapter 2, and the word said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So we wonder what the mind was that was in Christ Jesus. This is his mind. And truly the example for us to think likewise in the Lord. And so the disciplined mind. And as I was going to read this in the ESV, and then I thought about the New English Bible, but I came back to the New King James Bible. And I remember one time as a young boy, well, I was early teens, finally get it, whatever that is. So at the one church that we attended, it was a Sunday evening, and the pastor asked for a word of testimony or praise or to recite from the Word of God, and an older gentleman, a brother, he stood and he recited. He began at verse 4 and just recited right down through. And I remember that he stumbled around a little bit on all the whatsoevers, but there it is. But it impacted me. It impacted me. As he stood, he sat at the church and stood about back where Brother Jim Graham is seated. And he just stood. And he kind of turned a little bit toward everybody. And Brother Leonard was a beautiful man, and he still is. And so reading here this morning, let's begin at verse 4 and read down through, including verse 8, our key verse for this morning, the disciplined, happy mind. Therefore, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, remembering, as you pray, and you have the instruction here, praying with thanksgiving, praying with supplication, earnestly, with thankfulness. So don't forget to thank the Lord. Thank your Heavenly Father. When you're in prayer with him, thank him. He hears and he answers. Thank him with thankfulness. Then once again, I think it's for about the third time, Paul says, finally. Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Verse 9, and the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me These do. And the God of peace will be with you. Thankfulness and prayer. And not only the instruction, but Paul then, he says, use my life as an example and pattern. The things you heard me speak, the things that I write to you, the example and testimony of my life, all these things, what you see in me, what you hear from me, do these things. So we have this recorded for us. Paul is just a beautiful man. I think sometimes we focus so much on his strength and his authority and the churches that he planted and the things that he suffered, which are just incredible. And we are a little slow to notice that really Paul, as we found out here in this letter, he's a very compassionate, considerate man. He always spoke highly of those who worked with him, speaking very highly here at the Church of Philippi, a tremendous pastor's heart. And as he was very grateful for those who worked alongside him, and he would often mention their names, but now here, in this portion of his letter, he didn't mention their names in verse 3, but he mentioned that their names are in the book of life. And so he didn't go on to mention, it wasn't necessary. But we find the example of Paul in his writings throughout his epistles. He mentions his co-laborers, and we already know how dear he was, how dear the church to his heart. At Philippi was, and we're so thankful for that. But you know, the Lamb's Book of Life, and that was Paul's glory theme, John's as well, all the disciples. You know, the Lamb's Book of Life is, it tells you and I of our heavenly citizenship. So our names are written in the book. We're citizens of that great kingdom and that great city to which we are pressing toward. And knowing that our citizenship is in heaven, as the word says, from whom we look for the Savior to come. It changes everything in our temporal life here on this earth. It puts everything into perspective. We're only here for a little while. And even when we have suffering, the word says, it is needful that you suffer, that you may grow in the Lord, that you may be disciplined in the Lord. And the Lord doesn't stand off to the side and watch us suffer and grade us and see how we're doing. But he's with us with his grace to help us through, to keep us through, no matter what has happened. And the heavenly citizenship, and it tells us about this wonderful possession, secondly, of this fullness of life. The fullness of life that is in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Ghost. And that Spirit, that Holy Ghost Spirit, lives in the believer. It just speaks to us. And it's so much more than just you and I, you know, existing here and then going and existing there. But rather, as the Christian, we live in his fullness. That's what we strive to grow in here. And in fullness there, except in glory we'll have no more of the old flesh, no more of the old devil, no more of the old world, no more of all sin. So it speaks of fullness. And so you know, say, hey, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Say that. Yeah. And so it speaks of the fullness of God. And that's why Colossians 3, your life is hid with Christ in God. So grow in that. Grow in that. The fuller and richer God is in your life here, the more beautiful heaven's going to be for you. So press on in Christ. And And thirdly, just my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so I have His divine care. I have His care. He tells me not to worry. Don't be anxious. And we have a lot of things that want to make us anxious and worry. So He says, don't do that, because you're under my care. And I have supplied everything for you, everything that you need. And I am sufficient. I am able to do exceedingly above and beyond anything that you can even think or ask. I'm the Lord. I am the Lord. So that He instructs us here in verse 8 about how to think. How to think. Is there not a battle for your mind every day? As soon as you wake up, the battle's on. And you call upon Jesus' name. And depending on, you know, how quickly what might be said to you and how it is said or if it isn't said, battle's on. You go to work. You go to school. You go to play. You turn on and listen to the news. You shouldn't do that right away in the morning anyway. Get alone with the Lord right away in the morning. Get your mind prepped for the day. But there's a battle for our minds. And the more that battle comes against us and succeeds against us, succeeds against your mind, and the mind becomes more dull in its senses, and in your thinking, you begin to think not sharply upon the Lord and His word and His deep love and His promises to you. And therefore then we succumb to our attitudes and our worries, and on it goes. Our trust and faith in the Lord and take care of a matter begins to wane because we have realized that in it or not, we take control of the situation on our own. He has these words for us. He says, think on these things. And the first thing he says when, you know, he's telling us to develop the habit of thinking. How many go through a day without really thinking? You know, even some things we do so routine, we don't think. And we just, when you stop to think about it, how much do we really think through the day? Think. And as we are active in Christ and we're pressing on to be his ambassador, his servant, requires us to be thinking. Now, the mind forms habits, all right? And you know that as well as I do. You can know, and you immediately, whatever time of day, you brush your teeth, you go do it. You don't think, what am I supposed to, I'm supposed to go brush my teeth. Or you go shower, you shave, whatever. You have routines that don't require too much thinking, and we're glad for those kind of things. But then to think on things eternal, to think on things, all that he lists here, just, true, right, good report, et cetera, it requires an activated mind against the enemy of your heart and your mind, and it's the battle that you're in. It requires you to think purposefully about things eternal and just and true and right. Discipline your mind. And disciplining the mind is something that never stops in your life. You always will be in discipline towards your mind and keeping control of your mind. Because in keeping control of the mind, that way it will then master the heart and therefore keep sinful ways and the slam bangs of culture away and at bay and subject to the heart and mind. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we go back to 3:10. This is the power of the risen Christ in my life. Please know that Philippians 3:10 speaks first and foremost about your growing stronger, more beautiful, more pure in the Lord. And sometimes the thought is, you know, I can go out and I do great things for Christ and this and that. And you will. You will. If the mind is subject unto Christ, let this mind be in you. A mind that was so disciplined as he spoke often with his Father, chapter 2. The mind in Christ. The battle for your mind is incredible. And it is for you, Christian, and me as all of us. It is the battlefield. It is the battlefield. How many of you realize and actively know, I got a battle going on in my mind most of the day? Huh? It's most of the day, the onslaughts. So he says, think. So this is the scenario when things are just coming hard. When all of a sudden somebody says something or you hear another, whatever. He says, first of all, things true. Things true. And here on things true, it has a fuller and deeper meaning than just against something false. On a situation or matter that you know that is not true. When he says think on things that are true, it just brings in there the whole deep meaning of the scriptures and the word. And speech, matter, culture, anything that is false, from words to morals, principles, things that come into governance over people, things true. And whatever is of the Lord is true. What he ordains, he ordains in truth. His word is truth. His love is true. Think on things that are true. Truth is substance. It's not just engaging in a little argument, right and wrong, but you take what you hear and what you see and you bring it with the word and actually you know it as you are maturing in the word and your sharpness of mind and tells you right away by your conscience and that this is not true. It violates truth. And in a society that accepts and propagates and promotes and pushes its cultural ideals, we find that the battle is strong. And if we don't keep it strong in our minds, then we will succumb. We have, as we mentioned before, about, just for example, the subject and the horrendous thing of abortion of babies. And it is wrong. It violates the truth of God's word. The same way with immoral relationships. But you see what has happened. It is wrong, but our society deems it's okay. But it is wrong. It is not true. It is false. It is a lie. It is wrong. And so unless that we, you know, you engage in the mind and keep the mind sharp, it becomes softened toward it because the culture just bombards continually. And the same way with gay and lesbian relationships. And then we go another step with that, and then we wall them off. And we deem them not necessary or unworthy of the gospel. And that is not true. You cannot embrace the sin, but you must embrace the people. You must get to them with the gospel. You must tell them there is hope. Because they have believed a lie, You know the truth, you believe the truth, and you embrace the truth, and you are embraced by the truth. And so you do not cease to share with them and make your stand. And that's why he says, stand firm. You got to stand firm. And you'll stand firm if you have a disciplined mind and a heart that is strong in the Lord. You'll stand firm. And you'll, having done all, you will stand. And so Jesus, as he ministered, he was found often with the unlovelies of society. And he took his disciples to the down and outs, to the druggies, to the prostitutes. And that's where he was always seen so many times, hanging out. Engaging in their immoral actions? Absolutely not. But he came to them with love and care, with the truth. Here's the truth. He sat with the woman at the well when she came. Oh, please. He said, woman, would you give me a drink of water? You're asking me, a Samaritan, an unlovely woman, a drink of water? As he conversed, he told her her story. You've had many husbands, 4, 5. You're living with a guy now. He just talked to her. Truth, and truth has power. Truth. And she believed on him as her Messiah. And she immediately runs back to the village. She's now the evangelist. She's sharing the good news. Come see him. The one who has set me free. Oh, by the way, dude, you get out of my house. Okay? Come along with us and he'll talk to you too. But you'll have to have another place when you come back, because you're not living with me anymore. And so we find here the truth and we stand on it. So you think on things that are real. Here's where it is. Things that are real. God is real. The soul is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Scriptures are real. You think on these things and know that the Bible is true and real. The cross, judgment, blood. And these are the matters. These are just main doctrines that you feed your heart and soul on, in that will build you up and keep your heart in mind and establish you in truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. Think on the gospel. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, Paul says, of which I am chief. The gospel. Christ died for your sins, my friend. And only the Lord can set free. Things that are honorable and honest. Actually, the word properly means things reverent. This is what you're thinking on. What holds your mind throughout the day? Things reverent. You know, let sacred, serious thoughts be on your mind. So when you're doing something that you know so well you can do, what is embracing your mind while you're doing it? While you're cooking, while you're reading, and even while you're studying the Word of God. What is up here going around and around? The mind. Because the mind many times is translated heart. The heart, the mind. So the two are together. And what is mainly going on your mind is truly the matters that are most real in your heart and in your mind, that have strength in your mind and a foothold and a root in your heart. Let this mind be in you. Thinking on these things that are true. So not frivolous things or mean things or nasty things or immoral things or fleshly things, but these here kind of things. And even with experiences that have happened to you in your life that are even horrific, take mind with that. And don't let it captivate your mind, but instead think on the things of the Lord, that which you have given over to him. People slip into darkness of depression and solitude and become nasty in their characters and their personalities because they continue to think on the wrong things. And matters in life that are so hurtful and are just so part of our evil society and so personified through other people can make such a damaging impact on our heart and mind, and thereby changes our character and our hopes and just demoralizes and pulls us down. You see how it goes. But as we think upon the Lord and who he is and in his mind, it is said that, I found this that in Roman history, there was a bunch of barbarians. They surrounded the Capitol building, and they were going to do all kinds of destructiveness. And as they burst through the doors, and how they ever got to the doors, I don't know. But they burst through the doors, and they stopped. Because seated all around in this great hall were the noble senators, men of great minds and austere men, men of greatness, men of truth, men of valor. And they stopped. And they just looked at him. And the men in the room looked at them. And it is said, the barbarians just turned around and walked back out the door. Point. When the barbarians come into your mind, let them see. Let it see the nobleness of Christ, a disciplined mind, a mind that loves the Lord, a mind that is established on truth. No matter what you see or what you've heard or what comes your way, in your mind, and let him see, let that see the nobleness of your mind. And not give place to it. Let your mind be reverent with thought, saturating everything. And when wild passions and mean contemplations and these kind of things come into your mind, and they will then dare to cross the threshold because Jesus is there. His truth is here. And a mind that conducts your heart. Because what's in the mind settles in the heart. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And we find this strength in the Lord. And just as the old grungy barbarians were awed into silence, so will the attacker on your mind, silenced. Think on these things. Things that are just. You know, things that are just. Just is one of the most elementary things. And we have engaged in things that are just or unjust in all of our growing up. Right till today. And a lot of it goes on when we're kids. Things just and things unjust. And things that are just. So it's the great and solemn duty and obligation that we have toward others. Thinking of just and the things that I ought to do. And he says right here, if you're thinking on things of just, that are just, then you are the ruler of your mind. And Satan in the flesh and the culture is not the ruler of your mind. Who's the ruler of your mind? Who controls your mind? Is it of the flesh? Is it of the Lord? Things just, things that are pure. And this year, things that are pure, it's a warning that touches every heart. Things that are pure. Things that are pure. And impure thoughts contained, nourished, settle here, and lead to fatal actions. Fatal. Anything immoral that we personify through our heart and life, we pursue. It is fatalistic. It is hard. It is bad. And it'll destroy moments. It'll destroy brain cells. It'll just destroy testimony. It'll destroy strength and fiber. It destroys the very fiber and person that God made you to be, because in every heart God has set eternity, and the image of God is stamped in you. So the immoralities and the impurities and all this wretchedness demoralizes. That's why he says, be careful what you think of. Pure thinking, not the stinking thinking. And just radiant and reverent in the Lord's sight. So then he moves from the doctrinal things into the emotional, practical things. And he says here, things that are lovely, things beautiful, things that are a good report. Then when you hear, and what you do with what you hear, what you do with what you see, and things of good report. Report. And when someone speaks to you of another, and it's a good report, and you hear of good things, he says you meditate on these things. And how even there you may know that person, and somebody, what they just told you about that person is really good stuff, but I know that person. I know some things in his life, in her life. But he says, you focus on the good report. Because we all have junk in our minds, right? We all have stuff in our testimony, right? We've all been there. We understand that. He says, focus. He's here, and he just gathers it all up then. And he says, if there's anything virtuous and praiseworthy and of the Lord. So he says, think on these things. So he says, take hold of your mind. Lay hold of your mind. You command your mind. Don't let your mind command you. You lay hold of the sin, or the sin will lay hold of you. You be the master of who you are, or the world and the culture and sin will master you. How do you master yourself? You master yourself in the promises of God's word by following the master. He is your master. He is Christ in you to the hope of glory. And it's the growing of Christ in your life. And these things are so important. The Lord. We say the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your Lord? He is Lord over all. He is Lord of his people. He is Lord of creation. He is Lord over life and death and heaven and hell. He is the Lord. He is Lord over Satan. He is Lord over all demons. He is the Lord over all lies. He is truth, and he lords all. And you have to decide, and I have to decide, where I am going to rest my mind. Follow the Lord. Because what happens here, there's four things. As we close, why this counsel Paul presses upon you here in chapter 4, Philippians verse 8. The first thing is thought. Given place will breed action. So things bad, nasty, breeds the action. Things just, right, holy, true, just, of good report, etc., 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 breeds and leads into positive and good and just and right actions. It determines your character. It shapes your character. Number two, shapes your character. Because what's given place here is the person you're going to become. This is going to settle down in here. And once it has settled in the heart, there's only one thing left to do, the Bible says in James, and you're going to flesh it out. You're going to give birth to whatever started up here, settled in here, and you're going to birth it. You're going to give it out. You're going to follow through with it. Number three, it defines the ministry of your life. It defines who you are in the ministry of your life, how you speak, how you view, how people view you, how they taste of you, how they experience you. It just defines your life. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our example in all matters, and certainly it governs that. The last thing is it governs your destiny. It governs your destiny. You belong to the Lord. And he says in Ephesians, now live worthy of such a high calling. A high calling? Yeah. He's called you out of darkness into light, from death into life, from hell to heaven. Live worthy of this. Worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you and that keeps you. And so it comes all right down to, if you want to write something on this on your side column of your verse, Christ enthroned on my heart. Right there. Write it. Christ enthroned on my heart, that I may think of what is just, right, and true, and grow in that. And lead others in that. And then you'll go out, you'll take hope to others. Your thoughts will be on others and not just yourself. And I got to get to that person. Or when you hear something sad happen and it grieves your heart, you see, it just defines who you are. Or you hear something good and it just brings tears of joy. Your heart. When we think of the matters in Philippians 4:8, and let them take an entrenchment here, the heart will be happy and healthy and whole and holy, and so will your life, and others will live because of you. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Father. These things are written that we may know, that we may grow in the Lord, that we may live lives unto the Lord, lives that we were meant to live before sin just damaged everything and defaced it all. And Lord, you are truth, and you come into this world physically, the very embodiment of truth. There's no falsehood in you at all. And in our adversary, there's no truth in him at all. And on Calvary's cross, you defeated him, Jesus, totally. And this, Lord Jesus, the price you paid is the life that is offered to us. We bless you for this wonderful gift of salvation, this grace, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I labor on to be watchful, be vigilant, that the power of Christ may be so real and strong in me. I'll be watchful against false teachers, because truth in me and Lord, your word and a disciplined mind catches the falsehoods. We praise you, God. We praise you. And we will certainly, chapter 2, esteem others as better than ourselves. For when we fill our minds with Philippians 4:8, pride is destroyed, and the beauty of Christ rules and reigns. Let it be so in all of us. In the wonderful name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand as we sing this morning? And all that Christ is talking to you in your heart this morning, take care of that. Trust him as your Savior. Just take care of what he's been burdening your heart and talking to your heart. Take care of it this morning. Let us sing.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh.
And now may the God of all grace and glory keep your hearts and your minds strong and stable, steadfast in the Lord Jesus Christ, with your eyes fixed upon the Lord, walking daily in the Master's footsteps, engaging in the Word, and letting the Spirit of God establish you in truth. Truth. That you may live, we all live, that others might live. In Jesus' name, amen.